This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Building collapse in South Florida. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Thursday, June 24. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
Hundreds of rescuers are on the scene of a partially collapsed high-rise condo in the town of Surfside near Miami Beach. It happened shortly after 1 a.m.
A bipartisan group of lawmakers will meet with President Biden today to try to finalize an infrastructure agreement.
An advisory group says there's a likely association with the Pfizer and Moderna vaccines and a rare heart condition. We'll have details.
And colleges want students vaccinated by the start of the fall semester, but will they require it or just encourage it?
We are seeing this discussion and debate play out across sectors and fields, but education is certainly one of the most interesting ones. And, you know, it's building up to this point in the fall when all of this, of course, is going to become sharply into focus.
Isaac Stanley Becker at the Washington Post on mandating COVID shots for college kids. Lawmakers in Washington are expected to meet with President Biden today to try to complete an agreement on infrastructure spending. Members of a bipartisan group negotiating a roughly $1 trillion infrastructure proposal said they had crafted a framework for an agreement. The Democrats and Republicans emerged from a meeting with top White House officials yesterday saying work would continue on some unresolved details. Republican Senator Susan Collins of Maine.
Considering where we started and where we are, both sides negotiated in good faith.
Recent talks have focused on how to finance the package. It's expected to include funding for improvements to roads, bridges, transit, airports, and enhanced infrastructure for broadband, water, and electric vehicles, but exclude large investments in things like housing and home care that Mr. Biden proposed in his initial $2.3 trillion plan. President Biden has announced a strategy to stem a rising national tide of violent crime. Crime rates have risen after dropping sharply during the initial months of COVID. The steps he outlined yesterday are aimed at going hard after gun dealers who break federal law. But the rest of his new strategy boils down mostly to suggestions for struggling cities. They're voluntary. Meanwhile, Republicans blame the rise in crime on calls from progressive activists to cut police funding. More from Joey Garrison, White House reporter at USA Today. Joey, give us some numbers.
So homicides in the United States this year are up 24% over the first 4 months of last year, and gun deaths in particular are up 21%. So this is a major, really, crisis going on right now in the country. You know, for over a year now, ahead of the 2020 election, Republicans have, you know, hammered Biden, accusing him of being soft on crime and trying to tie him to the defund the police mantra on the left, even though Biden has rejected that and said he supports funding police. So that's kind of the backdrop here of why Biden is putting forward what, you know, he is kind of billing as a significant announcement on trying to prevent and reduce crime in this country. And it's a five-pronged strategy, and it includes a zero tolerance policy for rogue gun dealers, in which their licenses would get revoked on a first violations, as well as steps with the Justice Department to stop the illegal trafficking of firearms.
All right, so on that note, you point out that the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms inspectors are often toothless, right? They'll cite a violation, and then it winds up getting overturned or not enforced or something.
Yeah, and actually a USA Today investigation by some of my colleagues this month, in fact, just a couple of weeks before this this new announcement, you know, found that ATF inspectors routinely document violations in shops, gun shops around the country, only to be overturned later by higher law enforcement authorities. And sometimes, instead of revoking licensing, this turns into just toothless warning letters. So this is something that the Biden administration says it's going to try to stop. They're also going to be more transparent, they say, by requiring ATF to start publicizing inspection findings. Currently, believe it or not, you can't really look up and see whether gun shops have been and other firearm dealers have violated federal law in any way. So, you know, that's one prong of this larger strategy. Another thing that the White House is really centering on is letting states and cities know that they can use their COVID-19 direct funds. This was $350 billion in funding that they can use to hire police officers and take other steps to address public safety. So that's another component of this.
We're speaking with Joey Garrison, White House reporter at USA Today. The defund the police phrase has really become damaging, has it not?
I think it has, and Republicans certainly do. You heard also, it's a popular phrase on the left, but it's one that I think a lot of voters have questions really identifying with what that phrase is talking about. Of course, proponents of it say what the idea is instead of, you know, using money to arrest more people, et cetera, to put money, that funds into education and other programs that will lead to crime reduction. But, Democratic candidates up and down the ballot were hammered on that line in 2020, and Republicans are already saying they're going to do the same here in 2022.
Yeah, and it's not some confusing political message. I mean, that's one that I think the average voter, you know, clearly understands.
Biden, has repeatedly said he doesn't support defunding the police, and has, said he actually supports greater funding for the police departments and community violence intervention. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki twice, I think this week, reiterated that he does not support defunding the police, but that doesn't, it's not going to stop Republicans from using that as a line of attack.
All right, thanks, Joey. Joey Garrison, White House reporter at USA Today. CDC advisors say there's a likely association between the COVID vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna and an inflammatory heart condition in some younger individuals, but noted that cases were rare and that most patients quickly feel better. It's occurred mostly in male adolescents and young adults age 16 and above, and the inflammation was more common after the second dose. There were about 12 cases per 1 million doses. Dr. Paul Offit is a member of the CDC's advisory committee.
The good news is it's mild, it's short-lived, it appears to be self-resolving, and it's rare, occurring between 1 in 30,000 to 1 in 80,000 people who get that vaccine.
Myocarditis is a rare condition and tends to be mild, and most patients recover with rest or some treatment. But the condition can also be serious in some instances and lead to an abnormal heartbeat or heart failure. An author of the study says so far, the evidence suggests that the condition is more common following COVID-19 infection than after any of the vaccines. Do you love seafood when you're out to eat but never make it for yourself at home? Yeah, me too. But the key to restaurant quality at home starts with high-quality seafood and simple techniques from Wild Alaskan Company. With Wild Alaskan Company, you're getting high-quality, sustainably sourced, wild-caught seafood delivered right to your door. Choose from salmon, whitefish, or a combination. Money back if you're not happy. I went with the Wild Combo Box. Fired it up on the grill with a little garlic, lemon, and parsley. It was like sitting at some dockside restaurant in the last frontier. Each piece of fish was individually wrapped and labeled. Plus, the packaging can be composted. Wild Alaskan Company seafood is always wild, never farmed or modified, and contains no antibiotics. It's how nature intended it. And right now, you can get $15 off your first box of premium seafood when you visit wildalaskancompany.com/Gordon. That's wildalaskancompany.com/Gordon for $15 off your first box. wildalaskancompany.com/Gordon. Thanks for being with us. John McAfee, the antivirus software pioneer who founded the cybersecurity company McAfee, has been found dead in his jail cell in Barcelona, Spain, of an apparent suicide. His death came just hours after a Spanish court announced it had approved his extradition to the United States to face tax charges punishable by decades in prison. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
Mr. McAfee, who was 75, had been detained in the country since October in connection with criminal tax charges filed in Tennessee. Among other things, Mr. McAfee was a cryptocurrency promoter, tax opponent, presidential candidate, and fugitive. The Associated Press says he publicly embraced drugs, guns, and sex, and had a history of legal woes spanning from Tennessee to Central America to the Caribbean. In 2012, he was questioned about the murder of his neighbor in Belize, but was never charged with a crime. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Mr. McAfee founded the company that still bears his name in 1987, but he sold his stake in the 1990s for more than $100 million. More recently, he spent millions building a series of airstrips in the southwestern U.S. where he indulged in low-altitude flyover exploration of desert terrain. 20 minutes after the hour on this morning, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
A 12-story condo building partially collapsed in Surfside, Florida early this morning, and dozens of rescue units are on the scene. This man lives in the neighborhood and says he ran out to see what happened.
It almost looks like I said, like 9/11, like if a bomb hit or something, and it just completely wiped it out. There's a pile of rubble.
Miami-Dade Rescue Fire says more than 80 units are on the scene, which is about 5 miles north of Miami Beach. It's unclear if there were injuries or deaths.
Number two.
A bipartisan group of senators is seeking President Biden's support for a $953 billion infrastructure plan, raising hopes for a breakthrough agreement. Biden has invited members of the group of 21 to the White House today. Republican Senator Bill Cassidy of Louisiana says it's not quite a done deal.
I wouldn't use exactly those words, but I would say that we're very, very close, and we're going to now do the outreach that is important to grow the vote from the middle out.
The pared-down plan includes $559 billion in new spending.
Number three.
Two girls found dead along the same Florida canal have been identified by police as sisters. Lauderhill police say the 7 and 9-year-old girls were discovered Tuesday afternoon. There were no apparent signs of trauma, but police are treating their deaths as suspicious, and their mother is a person of interest. Police are investigating reports the mother was recently offering to baptize people in the canal. The Supreme Court has sided 8-1 with a former cheerleader who exoriated her school in a profanity-laced post on social media, ruling that the punishment of her off-campus speech violated the First Amendment. When the 14-year-old failed to make the varsity cheer team in 2017, she and one of her friends posted a vulgar message on Snapchat. The message made it back to her coaches, who cut her from the junior varsity squad. Now that Amazon Prime Day is come and gone, what were we buying? Well, plenty of Amazon devices, including a record-setting number of Fire TVs. We also purchased a ton of back-to-school items, including more than 600,000 backpacks, 1 million laptops, 1 million headphones, 240,000 notebooks, 40,000 calculators, and 222,000 Crayola products. Surprising bestsellers included Waterpik flossers, protein powder, 23andMe DNA tests, and Roomba vacuums.
Oh, all right, thank you, Jen.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the course keeps changing right before your eyes. Whoa! And in order to maneuver it, you need an expert by your side. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the tech solutions you need to help you get out in front and stay ahead of the game. Whew. For advice on solutions like XPS 13 laptops powered by Intel Evo platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. Among the 38% of us who worked from home at some point since the pandemic was declared in March of last year, more than half say working from home had a positive effect on personal finances. So look at a new survey from Ted Rossman, industry analyst at Bankrate.com. Ted, what do we have?
57% of people who worked from home at some point since the COVID pandemic started, 57% said that working from home had a positive effect on their personal finances. Only 10% said a negative effect. I think there's a few main categories here. I would say the commute, food, clothing, and childcare. Those are the four that really stand out to me, areas where people are saving.
Right. All right. So for the 10% that said it did not work out financially, what happened?
Yeah, I know. That one's interesting. You know, I kind of wonder what's going on there. Was it that maybe they needed to pay for extra childcare, or, you know, you would think if anything, it would go the other way, but I don't know, everybody's situation's different, or, you know, are they running up a big bill for utilities, or they had to buy new furniture or electronics or soup up their internet package, or I don't know. I mean, I tend to think that financially work from home is a big win. A lot of people like it for the intangible benefits as well. Things like more freedom, more family time, more sleep, perhaps. Although some people really miss the office. They're really extroverted. They love being around people. They miss their coworkers. For all these reasons, the best approach for a lot of folks may be the hybrid model, where you're in the office a few days a week and you're home a few. But I think there's very different perspectives on this.
Yeah. Also, break it down by generation.
We found that young adults are the most likely to really enjoy working from home. So we found that millennials and Gen Zers were more likely than Gen Xers and boomers to report positive financial benefits. But, you know, there's so many contradictions and so many gray areas with this whole COVID experience. And we're hitting on another one of them here, because young adults are also the most likely to have already returned to the office. So it helped their finances, but they also can't wait to go back. I think some of that might be the social aspects. I think especially if you're early in your career, you know, maybe you live alone and you just can't wait to be around people again. There's also the whole mentor-mentee relationship. That's a big deal for a lot of younger workers. I do imagine work from home would be tricky if you're early in your career or if you're new to a company. I think it works a little bit better if you have some kind of built-in relationships and familiarity, but there's a lot of different perspectives on this.
How about the percent who've returned to the office at this point?
Right. So we're talking about a third of U.S. adults began working from home during the pandemic. And among them, 45% are still working from home full-time. 27% are back in the office full-time. And 28% are back in the office some of the time. So it's kind of a mixed bag.
I said Ted Rossman, industry analyst at Bankrate.com. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. As a business owner, you eventually realize you can't do everything yourself, but hiring is complicated. And what if you only need part-time help? Belay, an innovative staffing solution, has successfully matched thousands of businesses with part-time virtual assistants, bookkeepers, and social media strategists. Belay offers you a virtual support team that can transform your workday. Let Belay help you juggle less and accomplish more. Just go to Belay, B-E-L-A-Y, solutions.com/deal. That's BelaySolutions.com/deal.
Cutting through the clutter to bring you the people and stories that matter to you. You're listening to America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
Thanks for being with us, and welcome into Thursday, June 24. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koschenka, some of our top stories and headlines. A 12-story condo building near Miami Beach partially collapsed earlier this morning. Data suggests a likely link between mRNA vaccines and a rare heart issue in teens. More questions about China's coronavirus transparency. Early sequence samples submitted by a Chinese researcher were removed from a shared database. Vice President Kamala Harris will reportedly visit the U.S.-Mexico border tomorrow. American gymnasts are in St. Louis for Olympic qualifying, and how a war vet celebrated his 90th birthday. We'll have that story in about 20 minutes. Colleges and universities everywhere face daunting challenges, logistical and political, as they try to create safe campus spaces for living and learning in a nation weary of the coronavirus and divided over masks and vaccines. The big questions for administrators: mandating vaccinations or just encouraging them? And then how do they know which students have received shots? More from Isaac Stanley Becker, national political reporter at The Washington Post. Isaac, seems like a patchwork of rules.
It is a patchwork. We are seeing this discussion and debate play out across sectors and fields, but education is certainly one of the most interesting ones. And, you know, it's building up to this point in the fall when all of this, of course, is going to become sharply into focus in terms of what's required where on what campus. If I'm a student attending X university but not Y university, or I'm a parent, it's a fascinating terrain for this issue.
All right, so you opened the story by comparing Indiana University and Purdue University, two big public schools in Indiana, and two different approaches.
That's right. So Indiana University is requiring students as well as employees to get vaccinated against the coronavirus, whereas Purdue is encouraging it but not requiring it, with the president saying that a requirement or a mandate might backfire, that it would come across the wrong way as ham-handed. So we thought that was a pretty interesting example of, even in the same state, even somewhat similarly situated universities were coming to different decisions, because elsewhere we've seen that there are differences that can be broken down by, public and private. It's easier to do something if you're a private institution. And then also, of course, geography and political geography. We've seen that this is easier for universities in blue states to implement than in red states, where governors have moved against such mandates and requirements or certification systems known as vaccine passports.
So even if schools mandate a vaccine, how do they know who's vaccinated and who's not?
Well, there are different ways of certifying this, and already we know that there are various health requirements, vaccination requirements for attending university, and there's a process whereby that would have to be certified. But you raise a good point, and there's the related point that there are certain medical as well as religious exemptions, and any university or other institution that is requiring this has to account for that. And in some ways, that's an argument that some people use for these requirements, that because there are some people who can't do it, because there are some people who are immunocompromised, are therefore vulnerable even with the vaccine, you want broad compliance to ensure general safety, to keep infections down.
We're speaking with Isaac Stanley Becker, national political reporter at The Washington Post. His story is called "Colleges Want Students to Get a Coronavirus Vaccine, but they're split on requiring the shots." I forget which school it was, but one of them promised for those who are fully vaccinated, they'll have kind of opportunities to do more things on campus.
Right. And this, too, is something that we're seeing not just in higher education, but also in employment context, that there are certain allowances made. But the understanding is that if you don't get the shot, you might have to have certain opportunities curtailed, or you might have to not have a kind of, in employment context, a front-facing position.
How much is there a blue-red divide politically when it comes to what states are doing what with schools?
There are counterexamples in terms of similarly situated universities in a given state. Say, we discussed the example of Indiana coming to different decisions in this respect, and we're also seeing private institutions in red states make certain decisions that public ones aren't. So Emory University comes to mind in Georgia, which is requiring the vaccine, but as our reporting shows, the public universities in Georgia are limited in what they can do, as are those in Texas, as are those in Arizona, where Republican governors have moved to ban these sort of mandates and certification systems.
Thanks, Isaac. Isaac Stanley Becker, national political reporter at The Washington Post. In the sport of business, we're all players, and with the game always changing, you need to be versatile. So does your wardrobe. You want both style and comfort to look as good as you feel inside the office or out. That's what Cuts Clothing is all about. Cuts Clothing keeps you sharp wherever the game takes you, from the boardroom to the bar to the gym. How? They reinvented men's clothing, starting with the t-shirt. Their Pika Tri-Blend fabric is buttery soft, wrinkle-free, and keeps its shape. Everything I've worn from Cuts is next-level comfort. Their polos, hoodies, and crew sweatshirts, all classics, made modern with custom-engineered fabrics you have to wear to believe. So versatile, you'll never need to take them off, and so comfortable, you won't want to. It's not just the lifestyle. It's not just clothing. It's office leisure apparel for the sport of business. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Friday Eve. It's time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, we know not all of us keep close tabs on our bank balances, so it's natural to sometimes have a feeling that something's not quite right when you see that printout at the ATM. Now, multiply that feeling by a billion, and you know what one Florida woman must have felt. Largo resident Julia Jankowski wanted to withdraw $20 from her account last weekend, but wanted to check her account balance beforehand. The receipt from the ATM showed that she had $999,985,855.94 in her account. And instead of being overjoyed at being a near billionaire, Julia says she was horrified. And to make matters worse, the machine wouldn't even let her withdraw the $20 she wanted without triggering an overdraft fee. The problem was, according to a Chase Bank spokesperson, that what Julia thought was a balance was actually a negative balance in that amount, and that the bank posted it to draw her attention to an issue with her account.
Man,
this is like standard practice at the bank. They do put negative a billion into your bank account just so you to draw other. You know, they could just say your account is overdrawn, yep, or there'd be an overdraft fee. A little message could pop up,
right?
But you know, they have to put a negative $1 billion balance into your account.
Right. Doesn't seem to make much sense.
It seems odd standard practice for a bank to do.
But you know, it brings up a different issue for me.
Yeah,
and I am constantly amazed in the. What is it? I don't know. Since 1985,
yeah,
I've been using an ATM machine.
Right.
This is my freshman year in college. The ATM machine has never made a mistake.
Right.
Not ever have I gotten an extra 20, been shorted a 20.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I know. It is pretty amazing.
I don't understand how an ATM machine goes undefeated for 36 years or whatever it is.
I know. It is pretty amazing technology that somehow it counts out money that quickly, mm-hmm, and it's just always there.
Right.
You don't even think to count it half the time, right? Because
that's
you
right.
know it's going to be correct.
I can sort of feel it, whether or not it's a $20 bill or two $20 bills.
Right, right.
Or whatever's left in my account.
Yeah, yeah.
I could just feel it.
Yeah, yeah. So you would think, yeah, so if it said you had, you know, $1 billion in your account, you're going to believe
it. You'd be right.
You're like, yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, thanks, ATM. You've never been wrong before.
Yeah.
You're batting 1,000, so sure. I'll take that $1 billion.
Yeah. By the way, I was taking out cash the other day, and the person before me had left their receipt. Like
oh,
their
yeah.
ATM
right.
receipt.
Right, yes.
So I was just curious. I'm like, well, yeah, this person got in the account. $67,000
wow.
in a checking account.
All right.
Like, can we do something better with that money than letting it rot in a checking account?
And make friends with that person.
Surely there's something else to do with that money.
Yeah, I would think so. And you might think that you've only seen this kind or that kind of money while playing Monopoly, but good news for some Massachusetts residents whose Monopoly money was accepted as legal tender at one local bar. Ralph's Tavern in Worcester said it was taking the money from the classic board game in a bid to be included in an upcoming localized version of it. The event took place for 2 hours yesterday, but unfortunately the fake cash wasn't good for any alcohol, as state laws forbid the bar to do so. However, you could spend your Monopoly cash on food, non-alcoholic Jello shots, and tickets for a raffle.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, yeah. Bring in Monopoly money and get yourself a hot dog or something.
Yeah, that's kind of neat. Hopefully they didn't lose too much money on that. Maybe they made it up in actual alcohol sales.
Well, I'm sure that was part of the plan, right, Gordon? Bring right. you in, and maybe you'll get a drink too.
Tip of the cap to Ralph's Tavern.
Yes.
Thanks, Mike.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the world is throwing everything it has at you. And to succeed, you need someone to guide you through. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the tech advice to help you navigate whatever challenges you're up against and get you safely to where you want to be.
For advice on solutions like XPS 13 laptops powered by Intel Evo platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. Months spent working from home have left many feeling sluggish and not ready to ease into life as pandemic restrictions lift. But making small, simple adjustments to your fitness and eating routines can change how you look and feel. First things first, create your own 30-day challenge. Weight loss plans that dictate what you can eat for weeks at a time are often too restrictive. A better approach? Make your own plan that includes eating more veggies, sleeping at least 7 hours a night, and getting in at least 7,000 steps a day. Number two, don't snack if you're not hungry. If you can't tell why you want a snack, then drink a glass of water and wait 10 minutes to see if the feeling disappears. Number three, add spices to conquer cravings. Studies show that spices, including cinnamon and peppermint, may help diminish feelings of hunger. And number four, shake up your exercise routine. You can become tolerant of your exercise, so vary your fitness routine with different moves through high-intensity interval training or switching, say, between a fast and slow pace on a run. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koshenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Biden has announced new efforts to stem a rising national tide of violent crime, declaring the federal government is taking on the bad actors doing bad things to our communities. Attorney General Merrick Garland also spoke about the administration's strategy to combat rising gun violence.
Every one of our U.S. attorney's offices is working with its local partners to establish an immediate plan to address the spike in violent crime that typically occurs during the summer.
Biden's plan focuses on providing money to cities that need more police, offering community support, and cracking down on those supplying illegal firearms.
Number two.
An Indiana woman has become the first defendant to be sentenced in the January 6th insurrection at the U.S. Capitol and avoided time behind bars, while a member of the Oath Keepers extremist group pleaded guilty in a conspiracy case and agreed to cooperate with prosecutors in a major step forward for the massive investigation. The two developments signal the cases against those charged in the deadly siege are slowly advancing.
Number three.
General Mark Milley, chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is defending the right of West Point students to discuss race after some Republican congressman complained that one class at the academy was recognizing critical race theory. At a congressional hearing yesterday, Milley said students need to learn about different viewpoints.
I do think it's important, actually, for those of us in uniform to be open-minded and be widely read. And the United States Military Academy is a university.
Milley says it's important for students to be informed about subject matter that may be controversial. After 13 years of near silence in the conservatorship that controls her life and money, Britney Spears passionately told a judge she wants to end the, quote, abusive case that has made her feel demoralized and enslaved. Speaking in open court for the first time, Spears condemned her father and others who control the conservatorship. The judge thanked the pop star for her courageous words, but made no ruling. For a mere $125,000, you can purchase a trip to rise some 20 miles into Earth's upper atmosphere on board a luxury space balloon. Space Perspective, a human spaceflight company in Florida, has begun selling tickets for its inaugural voyage. The trip is scheduled for 2024 aboard a hot air balloon-style craft lifted by hydrogen.
20 miles in a balloon?
Yeah.
I have to rethink that one. Not feeling so
with
brave.
With hydrogen, which goes up and right. I'm not sure.
6 minutes in front of the hour. Coming up next, proof you're never too old to jump out of a plane.
Innovation. Resilience. Agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. A U.S. Army veteran has proven you're never too old to fulfill a dream. On his 90th birthday, Joseph Dale Jaramillo jumped from a plane at 14,000 feet in Erta, Utah. Mr. Jaramillo said that when he served as an Army private first class in the Korean War, he wanted to enlist in the Army's 101st Airborne and jump from planes. He told ABC News he didn't make the cut due to his weight. He was only 128 pounds. You got to be a minimum of 140. He'd go on to serve for 5 years with the 1st Cavalry Division. He earned a Purple Heart after he was hit in the arm with shrapnel while helping save five fellow servicemen in a foxhole. Even after the war ended, though, said he always envied the 101st Airborne. So equipped with a professional skydiver and his family's support, Mr. Jaramillo finally took the leap. He said he hollered the whole way, and after waiting 70 years for that moment, he'd happily do it all over again. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.